1-800-449-8686. Now, Phil Hendry.
All right, welcome back to the Phil Hendry Show. It's time for One Man's Opinion. Larry Grover with Conservative of Kern County. Conservatives of Kern County is on the line with us. I know President Bush is making his State of the Union address right now, huh, Larry?
He is, Phil, and we're very proud of him.
What are you feeling most about right now? As you look at the country now, as you look at...
Well, the thing that I feel very strongly about, I guess the thing that I want to mention, Phil, is that as I sit here this evening, I think about a very dear friend of mine who lost his life in the World Trade Center.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Good friend of mine, Al Newman, lost his life in the World Trade Center. And one of the things about Al that I'll never forget is that he was a guy who didn't go for this political correctness. And I think what's happening to the country right now, Phil, is we are drowning in political correctness. And I want to have some fun and throw that political correctness out the window. I think we should feel free, especially after 9/11, we should feel free to say how we feel, to do the things we feel. And I know that Al would agree with me were he alive, but he lost his life in that terrible event. But he was a guy that had a lot of fun. He was a man who didn't care really about being politically correct. He just wanted to say the things that were on his mind. That's why I celebrate his life. And another guy that I admire is that Bill Maher. You know, he is not politically correct, and his show is called Politically Incorrect. And
yes, Bill Maher's, obviously, that's a discussion group.
But, Phil, I think political correctness is killing the country. I got a situation at work right now where they have me up for review because I called a coworker a name in total jest. And this is an example of what I'm talking about. Political correctness, you can't say anything. You got to be politically correct.
Well, what happened?
At work.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, who knows what happens with these things? We got a guy who works in copies, and one of these guys, everybody likes to give a hard time to because we like to have a little good-natured fun with him, and he's complaining to the tech manager that I called him a name. I said that he was, he acted, "How you doing, Donnie?" I called him a big queen. And,
well, was he hauling some, you called him a big queen. Is he gay?
No, he's got, well, that's the thing about this guy. He's straight. But he acts a little effeminate. So we say, "Hey, you're a big queen," and we mean it just in fun and out of friendship.
And well, wasn't he hauling some copies, something go down?
Well, that was the other thing. This politically correct climate, we work in a high-pressure business. I work in a printing business. He was walking down holding a bunch of copies, and I put my hand down his pants, and I said, "You're a big faggot." And I meant it in jest. I meant it just as a joke. But everything's got to be politically correct. Everything has got to be...
But you called him a faggot, and you put your hand in his pants, okay?
No, but Phil, understand this. He's straight. He's got two daughters. But he acts a little gay. And maybe...
I don't know what you mean by that.
Well, he doesn't like sports. He talks. His voice is a little high-pitched. And everybody can't believe he's married. So I got a little bit of fun with him, and it's all in good fun. I put my hands down his pants one time, and another time I squeezed both of his nipples, and you know, and I told him to squeal like a pig and all of that stupid stuff that guys say. Well, what happened? Now he's complained about it, and I feel a little bit betrayed because of the fact that...
Well, let's back up a little bit here, okay? You're talking about political correctness.
Yeah, I'm talking about political correctness, and I want to remind you, I lost a friend in the World Trade Center. And now I can't even communicate with a coworker and have a little bit of fun.
Has this guy complained?
He went to the technical manager. Because I can't say, "You're a big faggot," and I you know, put my hand in his pants, big deal. Okay?
Well, some people may consider that to be, I don't know. I'm just saying...
Phil, please be careful with how you phrase what you're saying to me, because I'm still smarting over the loss of a dear friend. And when I think of the friend that I lost in 9/11, and I think of the freedoms that we have in this country, and now I'm in trouble at work because my freedom of speech...
You called the guy a big faggot.
He's not even gay, so it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. If he was gay, I suppose it would matter, but even then. But he's straight.
And it, well, why did you call him that? Because he acts a little effeminate?
We have a good time with him. The guy's name is Donnie. We have a good time with him. And so I've tried to befriend this guy. I've tried to show him that he's one of the guys. I've tried.
Do you engage in this behavior with the other guys?
No, I do not. Only because this guy Donnie is kind of interesting. He's fun to have a little bit of fun with. That's all I'm saying.
So the other guys, you're not putting your hand down their pants. That's all I'm saying. See, maybe this guy feels singled out.
Oh, all the political correctness, all of the fascism. It really is a very repressive country that we're living in right now. And the fact that you would compare what I did, Phil, to some kind of a harassing act, I want to remind you yet again, and this will be the third time that I got to remind you, that I lost a friend in the World Trade Center.
Okay, I don't mean to dishonor his memory, okay?
Well, then please be careful. All right, since 9/11, we're supposed to feel free to express ourselves with us. I'm sure President Bush will be covering that tonight in his speech. And so I can't go up to a guy and grab him by the rear end or do whatever. I squeezed. I don't know what I can do. For me?
All right, well, if I can just go back over what you did with this guy. You put your hands down his pants while he was carrying some copies. You called him a big faggot, and you squeezed his nipples.
Yes, but guys play with each other.
And he's complained.
Yes, he has, and it has put me in a little bit of situational work, which I think is the result of this rampant political correctness that we're going through right now. And I think it's wrong, especially given the State of the Union speech and 9/11. I just think it's terribly wrong.
All right. Larry Grover is with us, and this is One Man's Opinion. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. As Larry gives his opinion about what you call the political correctness run amok.
Phil, it's something that guys do with guys who are straight, but they act a little gay. What I did, okay, is that...
Putting the hands down the pants.
Right. I invited him, and I'm talking about this coworker, Donnie. I invited him to play racquetball. And I had a guest pass one night, and we played racquetball, and we went into the steam room, and I pretended to sit on his lap in the steam room because I was walking around like I couldn't see anything. And he says that I was harassing him.
You guys were in the steam room together. See, some of this stuff may make people feel uncomfortable, all right?
No, but we're trying to make him feel like one of the guys. He's got one of those withered arms. He's a little soft. He's an individual that, you know, most guys would laugh this stuff off. So I show him hospitality, and he doesn't reciprocate or anything to the point that offended me, and I gave him ample opportunity to play along. So, Phil, political correctness is ruining the act of free speech in this country and just good-natured fun. And now,
well, what is going on now at work? So here's a guy that you towel snapped him?
Yeah, just normal things.
All right. This is a guy that you work with who you're called a big faggot, and you're putting your hands down his pants, and you're squeezing his nipples, and you towel snapped him in a locker room, and you sat on his lap in a steam room, and he's complained to your boss, and you think that this is political correctness.
Absolutely. And I think it dishonors the memory of a dear friend of mine who died in the World Trade Center. That's all I'm trying to say. And if you were...
Well, look, I want to be the first one to say that I'm sorry you lost a friend in the 9/11, okay?
Thank you.
All right, so I just don't want you to think that I don't care about that.
Well, when you ask me these questions...
What questions?
You're asking me about my behavior at work.
Well, some of it is...
Look, remember, I lost a friend. That'll be the fifth time I've reminded you that I lost a friend in the World Trade Center.
Okay, do you think putting your hand down some guy's pants...
Mr. Henry, I lost a friend...
Okay, I'm sorry. It seems to me that if the company wants you...
The company is making it very difficult for me to make a living. Simply because I had some good-natured fun with a guy. We were at the racquetball club. We got done with our shower. I had used his towel after I'd gone to the bathroom, and I wiped myself on it, and I gave it to him. This is what guys do.
Okay, so now you're telling me you wiped yourself with a towel and then gave it to him.
Yeah, it's good-natured fun.
All right.
Remember, I lost a friend at 9/11.
Okay. Then I can't say anything.
You can say anything you want. But everything's with this political correctness now, so what? Are you telling me I did something wrong?
May I say something?
Go ahead.
I think your behavior with this man might have been a little bit over the line.
So the death of my friend at the World Trade Center means nothing to you, is that it?
No, I didn't say that.
Well, now you're starting to offend me, his memory.
Let me give a phone number out here. Hold on for a minute. 1-800-449-8686. This guy is up for review at work because he's harassed some dude at work. He called him a big faggot. He put his hand down his pants. He's pinched him. He's snapped him. He's done all kinds of stuff. And he says he ought to be able to do that because he's sick and tired of being politically correct. Our number is 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Hendry Show. Look, political correctness, I don't dig it either. But it just seems to me the stuff that he said that he did to this guy is a little overboard. And now I can't say anything to him because, did you talk to this guy, Janice, before we went on the air? I can't say anything to him because he lost a friend at 9/11. I just think, especially men, putting their hands down each other's pants in a workplace? 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. Welcome back to One Man's Opinion, and Larry Grover from the Conservatives of Kern County is with us. Larry, you're saying you think political correctness is run amok in this country. An example of that is the fact that the guy, one of the guys you work with, can't have any fun. You say you put your hands down his pants.
As a joke. See, Phil, the political correctness is you can't even have any fun anymore.
All right, I understand, but you put your hands down his pants, you pinched his nipples, you apparently a towel snapped him in a locker room. And you got so angry with him. See, you mentioned that you performed an act in his coffee cup.
That is correct.
What was that?
It was a joke. People do it all the time. If Bill Maher were to perform an act in one of his guest's coffee cups, everybody would think it's funny. But I perform an act in this guy's coffee cup. And
I don't want to ask you, what did you do in his coffee cup?
Am I allowed to say it, or is it too politically correct?
I'd like you to be euphemistic.
I made myself feel good in the guy's coffee cup.
Good God.
Oh, Phil, don't go there, okay? I lost a friend in the World Trade Center. Everything is...
So that means you get to do that into a guy's coffee cup and towel snap him in a locker room? Come on, man.
See, even you don't understand. You're so politically correct. Bill Maher would do that into someone's coffee cup, and he'd get an Emmy. But I'm not allowed to do that.
1-800-44...
Am I?
Just hold on. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show with Larry Grover from Conservatives of Kern County. Ernest, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead.
Hey, how you doing, buddy?
Yes, sir.
Oh, I just wanted
Okay, turn your radio down, will you?
Yeah, I just wanted to let you know. This guy that he's saying that he's politically correct or incorrect, whatever.
I don't believe in political correctness.
You've been talking for a few minutes, right?
I just want you to get it straight.
Hey,
I want you to get it straight.
Quiet.
Okay, go ahead.
Now, you know, I really feel bad that he lost somebody in the World Trade Center.
Thank you.
But it doesn't give you the right to be an idiot. Okay? An idiot. You're an idiot. And if I was your boss, there wouldn't be a review. You would be fired.
What did I do wrong?
Okay, fired. What did you do wrong?
Yes.
Let me ask you a question. The truth of the matter is that the reason why you're pinching him, you're grabbing him, I think is that you're really gay and you're banging on the closet door to come out.
Wait a second. You're using the
9/11 as an excuse. Listen, face the fact, you like grabbing guys. I think you're a fag. So why don't you just stop being in the closet and come out?
Don't use 9/11 as an excuse, okay? How does that make me a gay?
Let me tell you, I'm a man, and I go to the locker room, and I go to the gym, and I'll be damned if I'm going to be grabbing some other guy's ass.
It's all in good fun.
Do you play baseball? Are you on a baseball team?
I play softball, yes, sir.
Oh, you play softball. When you're on the field, it's okay to pat a guy in his ass. When he hits a home run or he gets a hit.
Of course.
But when you're in a locker room and you're naked, I'm sorry. You know, that's just like two guys sleeping in a bed. Would you sleep with this guy in a bed?
You know every man.
Would you sleep with this guy in a bed is my question to you.
If it's all in good fun, yeah.
It's all in good fun?
Yeah.
Buddy, hey, stop hiding behind the closet door.
No,
put
sir.
Put your panties on and come out.
Wait a second. Are you calling me gay?
Yeah. Here. Let me rephrase that.
All right.
You're not gay. You're real gay.
You know, this is the whole politically correct situation in America run amok, Mr. Henry.
You know
just
what?
Because...
Why are you using 9/11 as an excuse
to
be gay?
Hey, wait a minute. Wait, I lost a friend in 9/11, so don't start making fun of that.
You know what? Hey, you know what? Here, let me explain something to you. You're not the only person that lost people in the 9/11, all right? There were more than 3,000 people that died.
Well, I think out of respect to them, I ought to be allowed to...
Okay, so what you're telling me is that all the people that lost people in the 9/11 World Trade Center should go out and start grabbing people's asses, pinching their nipples, relieving themselves in their in people's coffee cup because they lost somebody in 9/11.
What's wrong if it's done in all in good fun? That
you keep saying
well,
all.
Let me ask you a question.
You keep all in good
if
fun.
If I relieve myself in your cup, would you think it's fun?
If you're just
would you think it's fun? Yes
or no?
If you're
thinking it's if I was like this Donnie guy, a big faggot.
Well, I think you are. I really think
no.
you are.
Oh, just because. Oh, so
I think
words,
you're a fag.
I
yes,
put
I
my,
do.
I.
Yes, I think you're a fag. I think you're a flamer.
Look at sir, political
no.
correctness has destroyed the. You're just politically correct. That's your problem.
I think you're a flamer. Why
don't
you just admit you're a flamer?
I don't know where you get that.
Okay.
Look at.
Well,
have you
right,
heard what this man
let
said?
Me see. You suck your hand down a man's pants. You squeeze his nipples. You sat on his lap in a steam room. Oh, that's real manly. Yeah, I could tell.
That happens to me.
Tell.
No, wait a second. You're mischaracterizing.
That's real manly.
Wait a minute. Wait.
And,
the man is saying everything.
And your excuse for doing all this
you're
is
mischaracterizing
you lost
what
a friend
I did.
In the 9/11 World Trade Center. Well,
I'm
you know what? That's no
I'm trying
excuse.
To have some fun.
Look at you know
you
what?
You want to have some fun?
Yeah.
You want to have some fun?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, go to a game room or something. Go bowling. That's fun. Well,
what are you talking about? I like hanging around with my friends and having. Look,
torturing,
a guy, you
torturing
see,
people. Torturing people is fun.
Ernest, look, you ought to see this guy.
Torturing
big,
people is fun.
He's a big swishmeister. He's walking
no,
down.
It doesn't matter. Torturing people is fun. How about if somebody came and did that to you and told you, hey, you know what? I think you're a flamer.
Well, nobody would,
would
do it to
feel?
Me. Nobody would
How
do it to me because I'm obviously not gay.
Oh, I think you are.
Well, I don't know where you
are.
You keep saying that, but you haven't given me one credible.
Why don't you just admit the fact that you're a flamer?
You keep saying that, but
you're
you haven't given me
right.
one credible
right.
piece of evidence.
Look, the guy just said that you grabbed the guy's testicles, you sat on his lap in a steam room, you're pinching his nipples.
See, you two guys are politically correct. That's your problem.
No, you're a flamer.
Oh, forget about
you are a flamer.
You
That's
two guys
you
are politically
just a flamer.
And you're doing this even though
Let
I lost a dear friend of the
you?
World.
How old are you?
Huh?
How old are you?
35.
You're 35.
Right.
I'm pretty sure in the 35 years that you've been alive, you've had a sexual encounter with another man, haven't you?
If,
you experimented.
No, no.
Haven't
yeah, here's where you're. Here's
haven't you?
It was in good fun. In good fun between men, it's not homosexuality.
The truth shall set you free.
Wait a second. I'm going to answer your question. It is not homosexual if you do it in good fun.
Yes, it is.
Wait a sec. Wait. What do you mean good fun?
Either way you look at it.
Hey.
Okay.
No. You can't.
Either way you look at it. If it was in your mouth. You're a flamer. If it was in your ass, you're a flamer.
It
okay,
was,
any way you look at it, you're a flamer.
It was both.
You're a flamer.
But it was in good fun.
You're
and
a
it was
flamer.
Done.
Come on,
you
man.
You are a flamer.
You're, just like the guy said, you're pounding on the closet door, looking
yeah.
at
So both of you guys call me queer.
Yes.
Oh, no, no.
You just said.
Didn't you hear what I said earlier?
You
you're
know,
a big queer.
No credible evidence, and yet you
no
call me that.
No credible evidence?
Yeah.
You grab a guy's testicles. You squeeze his nipples, you sit at him in the locker room, and you say there's no evidence? Dude, where I come from, you're a fag. Any way you look at it,
look
you're
at,
a fag.
What, when you say all in good fun, what do you mean by that?
We're out fishing. If you're, we
oh,
were out
yeah.
fishing and hunting.
Yeah, I know what
okay.
you were fishing for. You weren't fishing. You were swallowing
Wait a second,
the worm.
Because I happen to give a guy oral sex in a tent,
yeah,
that makes me queer?
You're
yes,
a flamer.
yes, it does. Yes, it
right,
does.
You're a flamer. Aren't you a flamer?
When my college buddy Toby asked me to wear his sister's halter top, that was in good fun.
And you
we
put it on,
didn't you? Sex, big
You
deal
put it on.
We had sex, big wow. And you're
you know what?
That
I bet when you were growing up, while
Man.
The boys were outside playing with their cars in their
yeah.
trucks, you were right. inside with you
All
were
right,
inside Ernest. With the girls.
Thanks for
the
calling. 1-800-449-8686. All in good fun. This is the Phil Henry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
Welcome back to One Man's Opinion. Larry Grover from Conservatives of Kern County. And Larry, you've been on the program here the last few minutes saying that political correctness is what's killing America. Nobody can have fun anymore. Nobody can express how they feel anymore.
Well, you got the president right now, Phil, is expressing himself before the nation.
All right, I understand. But the way you have expressed yourself in your workplace has got you under review by your employer. And some of the things that you described, including relieving yourself in a guy's coffee cup.
Phil, political correctness is what is destroying this country. And I swore to myself after I lost my friend Al in the World Trade Center accident.
And you keep bringing that up as if that's a defense against any argument that somebody might bring. And I don't think it's fair.
I don't think it's fair that you would argue with me knowing that I lost a friend of the World Trade Center.
Well, you're grabbing a guy by his balls, you're pinching his nipples, all this stuff. And the most egregious thing, in my opinion, and I got it, you say that this is all in good fun. You said that you had a bowel movement in the guy's desk drawer. Is that right?
When did it become illegal to have fun?
Didn't you say that that's what you did?
I did not do that. I said, and I will quote directly from the review that I had with my employer, I crapped on his chest while he slept.
Where was that?
It was on a business trip.
Man, that...
Oh, you're going to tell me that was wrong because of all the political correctness. We can't have fun.
Man, yeah. If that's what it is, then I'm politically correct.
See, liberals like you are destroying this country. I've been a proud member of the Republican Party for the last 20 years. I'm looking at my president this evening.
And you're under review at work for crapping on a guy's chest while he slept on a business trip.
Yeah, so you can't have fun anymore, is that it?
Well, maybe you're having fun, but maybe that guy didn't think it was fun. Did you think about that? Stan, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead.
Yeah, what's killing America is faggots, just like old dude. Straight faggots.
What, like you?
No, you're straight faggot, buddy.
No, I don't see where you're getting that.
I've never grabbed
a guy's
goober.
I don't see where you're getting that.
Well, okay.
See,
how many times?
There's kids listening.
Well, okay. You're the guy talking about
testicles,
doing it on
bad.
A guy's chest.
And look at Stan. You know, I don't know what your personal, you know, preferences are, but why don't you keep them to yourself, huh?
Hey, I'm just telling you, buddy, you're a faggot. I mean, you go around grabbing guys' nipples, doing a lap dance in a sauna.
I did.
You know, I mean, what else do you call it? That's what everybody in my town would call you, a straight faggot.
Well,
we would
yeah,
try to
sure.
keep you condemned yeah, out of this town.
In your town, you'd probably call Arnold the pig a cousin. What I'm saying.
Ah, ha, ha. Isn't that funny?
Well, the
guy just said it. You gave somebody a lap dance in the steam room.
It was for kicks. It was a joke.
Hey, I tell you what, how many times would you laugh if I pissed in your coffee tomorrow morning? You wouldn't think it's
you
very
wouldn't
funny,
do it would. To me because I'm cool.
Hey,
I'm
you're
cool.
Faggot. I probably
I'm,
would.
No, I'm cool. I'm a guy you'd want to hang around with. You wouldn't do it to me. Let me
oh,
ask you
yeah, probably for a good head job.
Let's see. Let me ask you a question.
Hey, I'm just calling the way I see it.
You know, so let me ask you a question. You and I are in a steam room, and I get up, and for a joke, I do a lap dance for you.
Hey, you're fixing to get beat down, buddy.
For what? It's just a kid. It's just
I
a joke.
I don't care. As long as you have testicles, I do not want no lap dance. I want a woman. Not a faggot, a woman.
You're sure?
Yeah, I'm positive.
When did you come to that conclusion?
Oh, come on.
I'll tell you when I was born.
When you were born, you wanted a lap dance.
All
yeah,
right,
I did.
Look, thank you very much.
I think that guy's a lying sack of garbage. I think he's a lying sack of razorback crap, and I'll tell you why. No kid right out of the womb says, okay, ready for that lap dance. The first thing you want is a little bit of it.
Well, the first thing you want's a breast.
Yeah, but that's for, not for sex, you idiot. It's for something to eat. Hey, Stan, if you're still out there listening, I can take you places you've never been before.
Okay, I'm all done with you, man.
Wait a minute, I want to tell you all about the time I cracked.
That's great, man. Okay. 1-800-449-8686. I'm sure we're so politically correct nowadays. Can't crap on a guy's chest while he sleeps on a on a business trip. Oh.
help. All right. Time now for a flashback from yesterday's show. I don't know what it is, but it's me doing both voices. What was that?
Flashback.
Why, tell this guy, he's full of crap. This is ridiculous. Let's take a look at the number of world leaders, or particularly U.S. leaders, who are football players.
Wait a minute. What do you know about football?
What do I know about football? Yeah. I happen to be a high school football coach.
Okay. So, my family owned a sporting goods store. We dealt with athletes all the time.
And what does that have to do with football? You made a bad business decision. Get over it.
Yeah, I'm going to ask you a question, and I don't mean to be cruel.
Sure.
Did you play football?
Yes, I did.
Do you have that impediment as a result of football?
None whatsoever.
You don't have to get into the guy's speech impediment, did you?
My speech impediment happened to be as a result of a birth defect. I was born hearing impaired. I was born premature and put on oxygen.
There we go. Yeah, just like Stephen Hawking didn't play football, right.
From England, you idiot.
I beg your pardon?
I said Stephen Hawking is from England.
I didn't get the name.
Stephen Hawking is from England, as the gentleman just said.
Well, David, let me tell you this. You know as well as I do, you know who Reggie Brown is, you know who Mike Utley is, you know who Daryl Stingley is, all of these names, you know James Brady, Ronald Reagan, you know these names, right?
Yeah. Ronald Reagan had Alzheimer's. That doesn't have anything to do with football.
Wait.
You know, you mentioned some other people like Peggy Lee and Annette Funicello and so forth.
Yes, sir.
You know, I think that's actually an insult to the disease of MS, in particular with Annette. I've got relatives to have MS, and they give their right arm to be able to play football. This is ridiculous.
They would have done what?
They would have given their right arm to be able to play football.
Which arm?
Okay, now you're mocking the man.
What arm it is.
Yeah, exactly. Now you're mocking.
All right, let me ask you something. Michael J. Fox is no longer on television today
because he had Parkinson's disease.
No, he got his head rammed into so many goalposts.
No, he had Parkinson's disease.
He's Canadian.
He's from...
They don't play football in Canada.
Yes, they do.
Okay. 110 yards, three downs, and a flash of dust. That's Canada. Now, my point is simply... All right, if you want to laugh...
If you want to laugh at paralysis...
You know what you're doing, Mr. Green?
I'm not laughing at paralysis.
You're laughing at Annette Funicello, who could have played football.
She didn't play football, and you know she didn't play football.
Let's take a look at the number of kids who die in snowboarding
accidents.
What about
Peggy Lee?
Or riding a bicycle, for example. I ride a bike every day to work. Okay? I'm probably in more danger than I ever was when I was on a football field. Let's take a look at the fact that one of the Kennedys crashed into a tree while skiing.
Into a what?
You can make fun of this.
Give up skiing or snowboarding and stuff because your family didn't invest in skiing and snowboarding.
The guy says a tweet.
Look, you want to make fun of this man's speech impediment.
David, your speech impediment's nothing to the fact that my family lost thousands of dollars in the big soccer ball scare of the 70s.
What do you mean the big soccer ball scare of the 70s?
My family invested in soccer balls and lost it all.
And that's our fault?
I think it's football's fault, and somebody's got to pay, whether it's Peggy Lee, Stephen Hawking.
How do you know these kids can go out and run cross country?
Cross what?
Cross country.
If you make fun of him one more time.
I'm sorry. Humor helps me deal with the pain of having bought so many soccer balls, I guess. I don't know.
You know, soccer's doing great. Why didn't you just hang on? Around here, we've got enough kids to play soccer and football.
Where do you live?
Local high school.
Where do you live, sir?
I live here in Maine. The local high school happened to win a state championship in soccer and in football.
Look, I live on the beach in Santa Monica, California. I got to go to Maine. What about Elvis?
What about Elvis? What does he have to do with football?
You're telling me that football didn't have anything to do with that man's death?
Oh, for crying out loud.
Come on, man. Yeah. Everybody knows it was a drug overdose.
No, they do not.
He was the quarterback, and there was a center who had a whole bunch of drugs, and he crammed them up his guy's throat. Get real.
Get what?
I'm telling you to get real.
A little bit of advice. Get rid of the gum before you call a talk show.
Bill Hendry. Flashback.
1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show will be right back.
The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Okay, now, I got out of this, and I want to get back into it. The top 50 bands of all time in Spin magazine this month. Very good article. Not because they list the top 50 bands of all time, because it's just their opinion, but because they list what groups they influenced. So if you're going to say a band is great, as I mentioned, then you have to say, well, what exactly was their impact? What did they create? Who did they influence? What was the ripple effect? And so we got to, I think we got up to the Stones at number 9. Now, that's pretty interesting. Spin's got the top 9 bands of all time, the Beatles at number 1, Ramones number 2, Led Zeppelin number 3, Bob Marley number 4, Parliament Funkadelic number 6, The Clash at 7, Public Enemy at 8, and the Rolling Stones at number 9. And then, of course, I was talking to a few people around here. They said, well, what happened to the, you know, there's obvious bands like Pink Floyd. They came at number 49. And Black Sabbath, which, here's the thing about Black Sabbath. I'm just talking here. Anybody have an opinion about any of this crap, give me a call. 1-800-449-8686. By the way, the part of Larry Grover in that last bit where he talked about giving a guy a lap dance in a steam room, that was played by me. The people that called in thought Larry was a real guy. That's the Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. So Black Sabbath, here's my opinion about that band. Led Zeppelin was out about 68, 69. You say, well, I got Led Zeppelin. Why do I want to listen to Black Sabbath? Because Led Zeppelin was the first so-called metal band. Black Sabbath was great not because they did what Zeppelin did, but because they were the very first garage band. They were really the precursors to Pearl Jam and those bands. And they were the very first band to say, my life is meaningless, so I do want to get drunk and stoned. In other words, there wasn't any moralizing about drug use, and there wasn't anything going on there about how life is really a beautiful thing. They were the first band to say, life sucks, and I think I'll go and shoot up some smack. And Ozzy Osbourne's made a career out of that. That's what made them interesting. That's what made them sort of the working class band. And that's what really made them the very first garage grunge band. Because God knows, they were not great musicians. Look at this. I'm getting a look from Chris like, are you kidding me, man? Tony Iommi, man, is one of the best rhythm guitar players. Oh, you think I'm full of crap, huh? Well, that's one man's opinion. All right, 1-800-449-8686. So let's pick up this list. Number 9, the Rolling Stones. Number 10, Beastie Boys. Who did they influence? Eminem, Kid Rock, Limp Bizkit, and the TV show Jackass. Boy, no kidding. No kidding. See, white kids couldn't exactly do rap the way the black kids were doing rap because the black rap was this angry urban protest music. It was political. It was protest. It had some serious political overtones and undertones. But white kids rapping would be a joke. So what they did is they went to what they knew, which was, I can't break into my dad's liquor cabinet. Oh, woe is me. What am I going to do? I've sniffed enough glue and I can't get a ride to the concert. That was the Beastie Boys. And from them came the show Jackass. It's really, that's what Jackass is. Because Jackass is, I've sniffed a lot of glue, I can't get out of the house to do anything cool. Oh, I know, I'll set fire to myself. I mean, that's white kid protest music. Keith, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hello, Phil.
Hi.
Hey, I was wondering if you knew anything about the pet psychic that was on tonight.
What pet psychic?
It's going to be a regular show.
What pet psychic?
They're on the Discovery Channel, on the Animal Planet Channel part of it. There is a Miss Cleo now, but she, instead of talking to people, she talks to animals, like Dr. Doolittle.
No, I didn't know about that. Okay, number 11, Velvet Underground. That's another one of those bands everybody said was really cool. I think they had like two good songs, and the rest of their stuff was super two-and-all and second-all influenced swill. Lou Reed by himself, not bad, but that band, get out of here. Sly and the Family Stone, U2 at number 13, Run DMC 14, Radiohead at 15, Jimi Hendrix 16, Sonic Youth 17, AC/DC at number 18. Here's what they said about AC/DC. Who did they influence? Every hair metal band that ever existed. There you go. And who would that include? That would include Van Halen, Def Leppard, Motley Crue, that other pile of crap band, what are they called? Bon Jovi, Poison, all that crud. Oh, Bon Jovi, all right, they're fine. With all due respect to my former producer, Mike Schaefer, who scored two sweet tickets to see Bon Jovi at the Forum for him and his wife, Bon Jovi blows fairly thoroughly. Nah, there's a couple of songs I do like. Metallica at number 20. Who'd they influence? Slipknot, Papa Roach, Smashing Pumpkins, DJ Shadow, Static X, Alice in Chains, Soundgarden. Moving down the list, Sex Pistols, number 25. This is a very interesting comment. Who did the Sex Pistols influence? Bands since 1976 that intentionally try to scandalize and scam the media by throwing up and spitting. Pretty accurate. Okay, here's Adam on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello, Adam.
Hi.
Hi.
I just was wondering, is Yes on that list, and is
Yes.
Rush on that list?
Rush? That's a good question. That's another band that Mike used to like. Remember? He was a Rush freak. Let me look, man. I'm down to number 44, Beach Boys, Matt Binskin. Nope. Leonard Skinner made it at 47. What do you think?
There's no Yes and no Rush on there?
Now, Rush isn't on there because I think they bite ape. But no, I they're not on here. I don't know.
Well, because, I mean, if you look at those two bands, whether or not you like them, Chris Squire and Geddy Lee were two of the first bassists to actually do stuff besides follow the guitar. They actually were up there
what
playing
about Jack
their own
Bruce?
Thing, soloing.
What about Jack Bruce?
Well,
yeah.
I can't
Thanks
say
Thanks for calling. Get out of here. All right. By the way, Jack Bruce was a bass player for Cream, and I can't comment any further if you don't know what I'm talking about. And Rush, they sucked so bad that it actually hurts. You know, look, man, take your platinum albums, take your $1 million, just go, just go. Look, you got your money. You can't have any legacy, though. You're not allowed if you're Rush. You can make money, and you can have the platinum albums hanging on the wall, but you are not allowed to make history, because you didn't. Just because you got a lead singer that sounds like he might have been a chick, you know, we're not sure, and what? Get out of here. They did that song, The Trees. I don't want to say who, but Mike one day said, listen to this song, and it was about the trees. I said, that's great, Mike. And he goes, well, you know what it's about, don't you? I said, no, what? It's about racism and stuff. And, you know, oh, great. You mean the trees are misunderstood by the... Yeah, he says the trees in the forest don't understand each other, so there's going to be a race riot among trees? I don't know what you're... Quit making fun of me, Phil. You know what I mean? No, it's just... Mike, we love you, but you suck for liking Rush. All right. And then Yes, of course, isn't on the list because who needs those squirrels? When all is said and done, at the end of the day, when you come in and you wash your hands off and you take a look at the field that you just tilled... And you sip some cool water out of the well, and your wife is making dinner. At the end of the day, when you want to get a shower and you just want to sit on and have a good meal, who needs Yes to spoil all of that? If I hear one more time, someone dies. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Actually, I'm kidding. I think Yes is brilliant. It's the Phil Hendry Show.